Welcome to Gilmore Girls Special Season 3. That did not was a sentence, but we're going with it. This is a Hype Podcast special episode about Gilmore Girls Season 3. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm very excited to talk about this, obviously, and it's ruining my words. I'm Marima, and I have with me, as always, Pam and Selena, because we are the Hype Girls. Do Gilmore Girls. Hey, guys.
Woo! Hello.
Yay!
Do we remember how to do this? It's been a little while.
No.
Surprise, we still are watching Gilmore Girls.
Surprise.
Yeah. Surprise us too. No, we are getting this done. We have a date now, November 25th. It is happening. There will be 7 specials or 7 seasons at least by the 24th of November. They will be on iTunes.
On the 22nd, on the 23rd.
Even if we have to podcast on American Thanksgiving.
Yes. You will do it.
We're fine with that, most of us. Anyway.
We were discussing, yeah. Actually, I'll be in America, so I don't know if I'll give up my Thanksgiving.
You'll be honorary. Honorary American.
Exactly. We were just discussing before we started recording, I'm actually going to be in America on the 25th of November, so I've invited Pam to someone's house that I do not own for a Gilmore Girls party, and now we're trying to guilt Selena into flying over, because surely it can't be that expensive.
I mean, I did it once. I can do it again.
Yeah. If Netflix, if you're listening, this would be a great time to, you know, some incentive flights from Denver.
Yes.
We would appreciate.
I mean, you only have something to gain.
Yeah, exactly. But that is far in the future. I know you guys have talked about the Gilmore Girls trailer on our regular episode of Hype. So let's jump right into season 3. Of course, as a reminder, these are spoiler-free for the upcoming seasons because Selena is watching for the first time. But it's full of spoilers for seasons 1 to 3. So if you haven't finished season 3 yet, this would be a good time to pause. And you know what? How could you not have finished it? You've had like 3 months. You basically could have watched an episode a week at this point. I apologize. That's mostly my fault. Also, Comic-Con happened.
It's Comic-Con's fault.
We're here now, so that's what matters. Selena, why don't you tell us? I know from Twitter that you've enjoyed this season, but give us your thoughts on season 3.
Oh my God, it was so good. Like, I've been enjoying the show through the whole thing. But this season, I know it's for a lot of people's, like, favorites, and I'm sure that I like the upcoming seasons more too, but I definitely see why, because so much, like, I don't know, it was like season 2 was a little bit of a standstill, in a way, and now season 3, you know, Rory's heading off to college and all the big stuff is happening with the inn and with Jess and with, like, there's just one standstill still, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But most of it is just extremely enjoyable and frustrating in all the right ways, and I just think it's a blast. Like, it took me a little bit of time to get into it this time because I was so busy, but once I did, it was the usual of, like, I couldn't stop. I had to keep watching, like, half the night because I just couldn't bring myself to stop after just one episode. So glad we're not doing this, like, episode by episode. Also, because that'll take, like, years.
We would never be able to do that.
I know.
I'm glad we didn't promise that because this is bad enough. Pam, what about you? Were there any things you picked up this time that you didn't notice the first time you watched?
I think that still, just because, like, I mean, Rory is her own person. I think that there's, like, a lot of discussion that has been had about whether she should really end up with any of her past boyfriends or if she should just be, like, Team Rory on her own. But just because this season kind of is, like, that moment where she ends up picking between Dean and Jess, I just found
Does she really make the picking? Or does Dean do it for her?
But she's already got, like, 1 foot out the door. But my point is that now that she's, like, got Jess, I just thought that I always think that the juxtaposition in this season about, like, how she's, like, so upset that Dean is, like, Jess isn't more like Dean is interesting. And I feel like that's what I picked up the most, like, this time around. Because it's, like, what did you expect? Like, he's always been this person. Like, he wasn't magically going to change because, you know, you're dating him. Like, he's got his own issues to work through, and I feel like the immaturity, I guess, of Rory in this instance was, like, very strong this time around.
I was definitely not expecting the Jess and Rory relationship to develop the way it did. like I was like pleasantly surprised because it was, I know we'll get into that later, but like it was so realistic, you know, it was so like nuanced, which I was really surprised. Like it was really, really interesting to watch.
Well, I mean, why not? Let's start there. Why not start there? I feel like everyone would be surprised at this point if we started with anything other
it's
than Jess.
It's time.
It's time to talk about Jess for 45 minutes. Just kidding. We definitely will cut some of that out. Yeah, you know, watching this back, I remembered my frustrations with this season, which have very little to do with the characters and have a lot to do with some of the writing. I have made no secret about Jess being one of my favorite characters. I think he's fascinating, and I think he and Rory have a really interesting relationship. And I agree with you, Selena. Like, I think the way that it plays out with Dean and that kind of awkward thing where Rory is like, oh, well, I kissed him, but I want to be with Dean because he's the kind of safe, steady guy. But, oh, I don't want Jess to be with anyone else. And, you know, she kind of like almost literally leans on Dean until he just won't take it anymore, to the point where he stops actually holding her up at the dancing, you know, and is like, no, I can't. I mean, it's such an overt metaphor for their relationship, but I really think it works so well. But what I hate about season three is the way that they seem to write Jess out of it so quickly. Like, there's no time for any of the kind of nuance that could very easily develop and that you do see at moments. There's no time for that to like have breathing space, you know, for you to kind of sit with it as an audience member, especially when what happened with Dean went on for like two seasons, you know, or two and a half seasons. And then we really only get a tiny little bit of Jess and Rory. We never get to see them in an actual relationship because they're setting it up so they can write him out so that he can have his own spin-off. And I forgot how overt that was. I was watching it this time from the last time, and like that backdoor pilot is just so annoying to me, and I totally understand why they did it, but I just forgot how it came so quickly, you know. And I think a lot of my thoughts on Jess are colored by I don't know, like changes in Rory later on and things, and not necessarily from season three, which is really his season. So it's interesting for me to watch because I was like, I do not remember this, but
You know, I totally agree. I think that like Jess is, he is definitely intriguing, but you can tell that like neither of them are ready for each other when they have each other. And I think that that's why there's so much interest in this pairing, because you can see the possibility.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think for me, first of all, I had no idea that a backdoor pilot, like I'm like, what the hell? Windward Circle? What's happening? When I watched that episode of the show, I was like, oh, nice. We're meeting his family. I had no idea that that was them writing him out of the show. I assumed he would be back. So that was totally like, I understand why that must have been super off-putting at the time. Also because I cannot see them making a show out of that. That seemed so throwaway. Like, I like the woman. I like the mom. That was like, oh, she's interesting. I hope she comes back. But everything else was like as random as that time they went to that family that did charades. I was like, I wouldn't want to spin off with them either. Like, you know, it was just like, what? So, I mean, but I think, you know, it's so interesting that you say that, Marima, about it not having time to breathe, because I think it's actually one of the, like, on the surface, like weaknesses, but for me, like a kind of a strength, not always, definitely not always, but so far, at least I've enjoyed how much of Gilmore Girls kind of happens off screen, because I think that, and that must be one of the reasons why it has such a huge following, is because there's so much world there and you only get to see a little window of it. You know what I mean? Like so much of the character development actually happens off screen. And when the characters come and have their interactions, where we have to feed into that and make sense of that by all the kind of stuff that we don't actually know, but that we only sort of get a little glimpse of. And I think that's like such an interesting way to approach this story, because it would be so easy. Like, I keep waiting for things to happen that don't happen, and I keep sort of having to like pause and be like, why does this person say that? And then I like think about it for like an hour. And then I'm like, oh, that makes total sense. And like, I really enjoy that type of storytelling because it makes me think. And for a show like Gilmore Girls to actually have so much continuity, but you have to work for it, I actually enjoy that a lot.
I agree, except in the case of Jess in this season, only mm-hmm. because I think that
there are exceptions.
that the stuff that we do get to see doesn't really make sense with his character.
They paint him in a really bad light, I think.
Well, also the way that people respond to him, like there's the episode where he buys the car and he's like working two jobs and everyone in the town is just really mean about it. Like, isn't that an admirable thing to work and, you know, buy a car and want to do things? And I get that some of it is kind of the anti-Jess because they're like team Dean and they're team Rory and et cetera. But like, there are just a couple moments that I find very jarring that only make sense to me if you consider this in the arc of like, well, they need to get him off the show, you know? And as an audience member, I find that frustrating because I like Jess. Now, if I wasn't that invested in Jess as a character, I would probably not notice them as much. But I agree with everything else, though. And that's one thing I do really enjoy about Gilmore Girls. And, you know, I like that that some of those decisions I don't agree with give us a chance to see Rory dealing with a situation that isn't really going her way for kind of the first mm-hmm. time. Like, she's succeeded at everything to this point. Everything has kind of gone in her favor. Everything has come up Rory. And suddenly she's... doesn't really know what to do, and that is realistic, and that's also kind of refreshing because there are a few moments in the show where you do feel like Rory's not given enough flaws for the audience mm-hmm. to kind of get behind her, and it's just the fact that she's sweet and nice and really smart that you're like, oh, that's cool, I like her, but you know, sometimes she lacks the interest, I think, of Lorelai's storylines or even Emily's storylines. And and the Jess storyline is a good one for her, I think. Like, it gives you a chance to see some different aspects of her.
It is. I really think so. I think, like, first, only, like, before they got together as well, because she was, like you said, like, leaning on Dean and kind of stringing him along, like, majorly. And then once they got together, I think the fact that she just can't deal with him and she needs him... to be, and that's an interesting thing for a show like Gilmore Girls too, is that Rory doesn't know how to deal with a boyfriend that isn't a traditional boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that Dean, I really don't like Dean, but
no one likes Dean.
I'm sure he has his fans, but like, I'm sure that, I mean, he obviously wasn't really like totally nice. He was very controlling and stuff, but he was like, he would bring her flowers and he would come to things with her and he would be very like boyfriendy. And Rory like is so confused and hurt and angry and sad every time Jess is like, no, I don't actually want to go to that thing with you, I want to do something else. And sometimes he's being super unreasonable, but Rory can't deal with him not wanting to be her, like, stick out his arm and say, let's go, my lady. Like, it's a very strange situation for her. And I think that's, like, I totally agree with you. I was really excited to see Rory in a situation like that.
And, you know, I think part of it too is that Rory has been so sheltered her whole life in a lot of ways. Like, even though they're the same age, Jess is like so much older mentally than she is. Mm-hmm. And I think that that taints that, because if you look at the way like Jess is like viewing this relationship or any relationship, you know, it's like, it's very mature. It's like, we don't need to be together all the time. Like, we don't need to do this or that. Like, can't we just be together? And that's that. And Rory still very much wants like the high school romance, like, come with me to this like dance and like, let's mm-hmm. go to the town festival. And like, you know, these are all things that like he doesn't want. And I think it just like, it's like in so many ways, Rory is so mature and so like ahead of her time. And then it is kind of nice to see like in this one thing, she doesn't have it all
mm-hmm. put but together. It's really okay that she wants all of that stuff. Like, you know, obviously, and she could like not be with him if he doesn't give her that. But it is true that it's just from a story perspective, it's really good to see her deal with some of that stuff that will make her less sheltered in future, hopefully.
Okay, can we talk about the MVP of the season, the real MVP, who is obviously Dave Rogowski?
Yes, that's my favorite Gilmore guy. I've been waiting for this season.
Yes.
He is amazing.
So, I mean, little trivia to start off with. The character Dave Rogowski is named after his whole name is Dave Rogowski, or maybe his name's Dave, who is the husband of Helen Pay, is that how you say it, or Pie? Who is the character that is like Amy Sherman Palladino's best friend, who the character of Elaine was based on. So then the character of Dave is based on her real life husband, which must be so weird, but also really cute. And we meet Dave, and he's basically written as like the perfect boy for Elaine, and he's not that interesting. I mean, he's interesting. He's really sweet.
You know,
but he's a bit hollow as a character, but you don't
care. He's the manic pixie boyfriend, but I want it anyway.
Exactly. Like, and Lane deserves it. Like,
she
Lane
does.
Deserves Dave.
And we, vicariously through Lane, we deserve it too.
Yeah,
so
this is true.
Yeah, round of applause for Dave, because he's
so
best.
True. And for that moment where he's like, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I could be vegetarian if you want me to be, like, I don't do these things, and it's the sweetest little...
And I really want to take your daughter, and he stays up all night reading the Bible, and Mrs. Kim actually approves for the first time ever.
She's like, oh, it's from Shakespeare. You're like, oh, yeah, he is amazing. Of course, like... Then he was cast in the OC, which is why we never see him again. Spoiler
what?
Alert. So, yeah.
Oh my god, that's awful.
I can't.
You know what?
I don't want to spoil.
He was so
Selena,
perfect.
But I couldn't let you go waiting for him to come back. Like, I could not do that to your heart.
And I will tell you that, like, this is like, it's not really a spoiler. It's just like an added thing. Basically, like they reference the fact that he's like in California. When he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like so funny. Yeah. So it's
because Gilmore Girls,
too.
Right. Gilmore Girls like got him early and he's amazing, but you know, they're all going for the same pilots and they're all doing the same thing. So.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Cause like, it was like right in the finale that he was like, finally won Mrs. Kim over. And
I know.
Now he's gone.
I know. But that's like
for Lane.
Well, this is one of those things I don't feel bad about spoiling you because it's not like a story thing. You know, it's just like I would be bad. But anyways, so sad. Adam Brody.
I know.
But you know, I guess there are some other things happening with Lane in this season. We'll come back to the Gilmores in a second. But Lane has her band.
The band.
Her
oh
band.
My God. How
what do you
awesome
think of the band,
that?
Selena?
I think it's such a it's such a cool development for her. Like I had no idea it was going to go in that direction, and I think it opens up so many cool storylines. I really enjoy that.
Yeah,
she was one of my favorite characters this season for that reason.
Yeah, I like the scene where she like dyes her hair and then dyes it back. Personally,
oh my god.
So
and then Rory tells her to run around the block really fast because it hurts. It's like,
yeah. They're both so out of their depth.
Did like, we talk about that? Did we talk about how, like, I basically had the exact same experience as Lane? So basically, like, I watched this episode. It was the one's got class and the other one dies, I think, at least based on the description. I'm assuming it's that one. Like, when I was 14, 15... I had to go to this thing in school. It was like a dress. It was like the final day of school. And we had to dress up as characters. And I was like, do I want to be Dark Angel or do I want to be Buffy? And I like stupidly decided to be Buffy, right? What does that entail? Dyeing your hair. So with the help of my dear mother, we sat down to bleach my hair at home. Not having any idea what we were doing.
Oh my god.
And it ended up yellow and patchy and disgusting and sticky as well because I couldn't get the thing out after. And I had to go to... We didn't have reverse dye or anything because we were like in the country and you couldn't just go and buy that. So I had to go to my graduation with yellow sticky hair. And I tried to hide it under a hat, and I, like, it was awful. Everything was awful. Like, my whole school career was awful because of that one situation. So when that happened to Lane, and when, like, oh my God, it felt so real. I was like,
Do those photos
it
was exist?
It hurt. Oh. No, they do not.
They definitely do. Note yourself.
I don't think there are any photos. I think I refused. Oh. I think I ran every time someone took a camera out.
But did you have a great Buffy costume at least?
No, because I had this whole thing played out, and we went to look for clothes, and we couldn't find anything that looked remotely like anything she wore. So I ended up just wearing a shirt, like a skirt and a shirt, and yellow hair.
Oh, that's really sad. I can't stop laughing.
I know.
Well, okay. Well, so you identified with Blaine. I mean, I always appreciated the musical aspect of Blaine when watching Gilmore Girls. I didn't need the, you know, bearing it under the floorboards thing, but I was definitely, when I was younger, like, I'm going to be in a band. Well, I'm sure, Pam, you had a similar thing. I'm going to be in a band, and I'm going to be famous. And
I hit things under floorboards, too, so Lane just resonates with me. You know, it's just, it was just so disappointing because, you know, I never got a Dave, so.
Right.
Unrealistic expectations on life.
Well, thanks, Gilmore Girls, for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we talk about Lorelai, I guess? Speaking of love interests, she has a lot going on this season, and also nothing at the same time. So at the start of the season, she's obviously dealing with the fallout from Christopher, being like, lol jokes, I'm going back to my pregnant fiance or girlfriend or whatever they are at that point. Ugh. And then there's the dream. There's the dream.
Oh my God.
With Luke.
Wait, but like,
I'm so mad.
Didn't you say, Selena, like, that was one of your predictions that they would
Selena
be together by
season
three?
Yeah.
Like, in the season three premiere.
And that it was close, though. Did you think that
you
this
like,
was
this
it?
Is it?
Yes. And then it came, like, the finale, and like a million times in between, you guys. I'm so mad. Like, how dare they? You know, it's one of the things I things I loved less about this season is I know, I get it, and lots of people have told me on Twitter that they're obviously drawing the Luke and Lorelai thing out, but it feels so artificial. Like, it feels like there's no reason for these two characters not to have acted in some way on, like, their reasons for being interrupted and for holding themselves back and stuff are, like, really flimsy to me at this point. And, like, you know, it's like in Friends, like, even they realized that they couldn't keep Ross and Rachel apart for the whole show, so they had them get together and then they broke up and all of that stuff. And it's fine that they weren't doing that with Luke and Lorelai. Yeah, what? So, like, I get it, but I feel like it is a story that should happen, that is physically being restrained from happening. Like, it doesn't feel organic that it's not happening, and I'm so annoyed, and they're so not going to get together before the revival, and I'm so mad.
Here's what's not organic.
Especially that season three finale thing. That really bothered me. It came out of nowhere.
Why would you introduce John Hamm and then not have everyone be like, well, I'm done, like, marrying this guy? John Hamm, guys. John Hamm.
That was really weird.
There's a lot of weird cameos in this show. I forgot that. I kind of forget how old it is. You know, that was in his pre-Mad Men days, same as Adam Brody's, his pre-OC days. It's just everyone's like a little baby. But,
Max Greenfield is in it, too, from New Girl and stuff like that at some point. So, yeah, there's a lot of good people, for sure.
Yeah, it's so random. I kind of agree with you, Selena, and I think I've definitely said before that I'm not loving the Luke Lorelai kind of ship. So I think if you really buy into the chemistry, or maybe it goes both ways. If you really, really buy into the chemistry, then it must be frustrating for them
together. Yes.
But if you don't buy into it at all, it's equally frustrating because there's like so much time spent on this thing that you're not invested in. You know, in the way of it takes up so much time, not in a, what am I trying to say? Not in like a useful way on the show. You know, it's constantly like negative space of them not being together.
Yeah. It's like back and forth. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, I don't know. I wonder when they started the show, how many seasons they thought it was going to go. I actually don't know that. Do you know, Pam? If they had a plan for like...
I don't think so. And I think it gets like... It does get a little wishy-washy because, you know, like Amy wasn't around the whole first run. Mm. And she left. So I'm kind of wondering, too, if they just thought that like they were going to leave it off without her.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. Well, so do you want to make another prediction, Selena? So what are you saying? They're not together till the revival. Oh, that's what I heard in there before.
No. Well, yeah.
Well,
but
you might get another dream. You never know.
Oh, my God. The dream. Oh, my God. That season three finale. Like, the season opener I got. I was like, okay, this is the season they're going to get together. They're setting it up. Then they bookended it with his stupid, like, sequence that could have totally happened. And it didn't happen. And... then we were just left at square one. Like, basically, they had not developed at all over the season. And I was like, what the hell? So anyway, I think realistically, like, they have to at least kiss during this 7-season run. But I don't know, like, when it's going to happen. Maybe, okay, season 5 finale. That's my final offer.
I feel like at this point you're just like, I need it to happen because I need it.
Selena's doing the secret. I know. She's like putting it out into the universe and hoping that it comes back or whatever.
So that's what I'm saying. But now Luke has what's her face? Nicole and all of that crap. So like, who knows?
Not a fan of that storyline?
No, I liked the other one better. The photographer. It's like, I liked her. She was pretty good. Oh, yeah. Nicole, I don't really like her.
Yeah. What did you guys think of that turn down service, though? Like, every time that comes up when I'm watching it, I just have to pause. Like, I can't watch. It's awful.
I know. At the hotel, yeah.
Yeah, at the end. When Lorelai just, like, walks in and, like, you can tell she doesn't like her and, like, they don't like each other. And Luke's just like, well...
And like, very awkward for everyone involved. Oh, speaking of awkward, Sherry's baby.
Oh my god.
It's like one of those things that I felt like was entertaining for a while, but then could have happened off screen. Like, a lot of that could have happened off screen, I feel like.
But it gave us one of the best episodes.
True.
You know, really? With the flashbacks?
Oh, I love the flashbacks. Oh, can we talk about those?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you didn't like them?
It's in my favorite episodes.
Okay.
Why didn't you like it?
Well, now I feel bad.
It's very contentious thing in the Gilmore Girls fandom, I believe. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I think, because I'm not sure, like someone told me that it like it never happens again. I don't know if that's true, but if it was only this one isolated incident, I thought it came at a really weird time. I understand like what they were trying to do with it, but I just felt it really came out of nowhere. I didn't like the girl that played young Lorelai. Like, it didn't click for me. I was like, this is a really weird person trying to impersonate Lauren Graham. Like, I'm not really feeling this at all. I really like young Emily and Richard, though. I think they were really interesting and really well. I was happy to see that part of their experience. But I think in terms of Lorelai, it sort of trivialized what had been a very, very interesting backstory for her. And I didn't like how it played out, I guess. I don't know.
Oh. Well, Pam, why do you like it?
I just think because Lorelai is such an interesting character, it's further interesting to see that basically she has not grown up since then. Like, she's always been the same, and it's kind of like she'll always be the same for better or for worse. And I think also it was just a really, I don't know, I've always just really liked that episode. It's probably one of my favorite episodes of the whole series. And I think it's just nice to see Lorelai before Rory. And it's nice to see her reflect on that.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely one of my favorites of the whole series. But I know a lot of people don't like it. And I think mostly it's because they don't like the casting of young Lorelai. So I don't think you're alone there, Selena. I guess for me, I'm very invested in the relationship history between Lorelai and Christopher. I find them really fascinating in their dynamic. And so any insight into that, I welcome. But I think also it gives you a really kind of interesting insight into her relationship with her parents that you know some of, but it's hard to fully understand without seeing it, like her taking herself to the hospital and things like that. Like, there are some moments in those flashbacks that actually are really emotional. And, I don't think all of it is amazing, but yeah, I don't know. I do really, really like it. And I don't mind the casting of that girl. I think the guy playing Christopher definitely is doing a better job in being like a young version of the character, not trying to be that actor, but you know, it is what it is. And you get to see Kelly Bishop with that like crazy fringe, so no complaints.
Yeah, the flashback fringe.
yeah, and he's like horrible parents who just like, ugh.
Right.
So
I think I think one of the things that and I'm sure this is like part of the huge point of it, but it made Lorelai feel a little bit inconsistent, because like we've spent so long with her. She's kind of like a very unreliable narrator, I guess, which is an interesting thing to do with your main character, in that when we've heard so much about this time in her life and how hard it was and how she like had to do it all on her own and she left home and hadn't had any contact with her parents, and now we finally get to see it. And it's so undramatic. Like, her parents are cold, but they're not unsupportive, and she basically, like, they were around and she just went to the hospital on her own without telling them, and they were right there. And she, and clearly we find out too by like the time she actually leaves, she's been there for a while. Like, it's not like she leaves the hospital and goes to the inn. She comes home with the baby and stays there for a little bit, and then she just leaves. And I'm not seeing anything to justify her leaving her parents and cutting herself off and wanting to make it on her own. And I think that's kind of, it's part of the Gilmore package. Like, it's kind of part of why we empathize with Emily and Richard, even when they are being extremely unreasonable and frustrating later in the season as they become, which we might talk about. So in that way, I like the depth that it gives their relationship. But just as a fan of Lorelai and as a fan of the show so far, I feel like a little bit misled, and I don't like that feeling. Yeah, does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense. I think that's why I really like it, but I can definitely see how it would go the other way, because, you know, I think it's a more interesting relationship if it's not black and white
in that they treated her
horribly and she had to get out of there. Like, she could have stayed there. She chose to leave. And so it may not have been like the best situation for her. It may not have been the best environment for Rory. She may have felt like it wasn't, but you know, she made an active choice to leave. And I think that when you kind of look at their relationship through that lens, just makes everything a lot more complicated, but a lot more satisfying in a way, because, you know, when Emily is getting really kind of nasty, as she does, and talks about like, oh, it was so horrible here, and you know, it would have been such a nightmare to stay here, and etc., you get where she's coming from. Like, she actually can't understand why she would have left, like why she would have chosen to go, and I like that. And I think an unreliable narrator is a perfect way to describe her. I think that's because in a way, she's kind of written this past for herself as this sort of victim of her circumstance, who's kind of managed to get above it all. And not saying that like she didn't suffer like some kind of, I don't know, emotional abuse at the hands of her parents, or like they weren't supportive or any of that. But it's definitely, in her mind, has become a lot more straightforward than I guess the situation actually was. And it's interesting as a viewer to like get that insight that perhaps she doesn't have. So I don't know, but I can see how it'd be frustrating. I don't know. You want to talk about Emily and Richard a bit? Did you want to talk about the Harvard and Yale stuff?
No, that was actually a different thing.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
The Harvard and Yale stuff.
No,
well, I just, I think the bit that like made me the most angry this season, because I think I am like sort of team Lorelai a lot of the time, maybe even in situations where you are Team Emily, which is interesting. And I think that's such a cool thing that the show allows you, because it is, as you say, it's so nuanced and it's so like real that you can sort of see things from all sides and it makes sense. But I think when Lorelai pays the check back and they get mad, that infuriated me so much, because I was like, and I know like other people are like totally seeing it from Emily's perspective, and she's basically understanding that it as Lorelai cutting ties with them again. But for me, I was just like 100% on Lorelai's side. Like, she can finally not be in debt. It's really important to her. She doesn't have the kind of money, and the fact that that Emily was so unwilling to understand and accept, it's one of the reasons why this relationship will always be so contentious, because she is, whereas Lorelai tries to understand, Emily just does not try to understand where Lorelai is coming from. Her perspective totally makes sense, but I'm like getting so into it, like they were real, but that's not, like how real it made me feel. I was like, but you, yeah, Stars Hollow exists, guys. I wish, but no, like just like she didn't understand Lorelai's perspective, and she didn't even try. And I was just like, rah. Yeah. I'm like still really mad about
it. That scene is like really, I don't know. I mean, I do kind of come down a little more on the Emily side.
Yeah,
I am the number one Emily Gilmore defender on this show, apparently. But I completely agree with what you are saying, and I fully get that as well. But I think there also is a little something in Lorelai that's like, with the immediacy that she does that, you know, that is perhaps a little insensitive to her parents. And I do think that she does make an effort to try and understand in a way that like Emily and Richard do not. But at the same time, I think she takes some pleasure in those moments also, in kind of having won over them in a way. And like, I'm not on either of their side. I think it's kind of, those sorts of moments are what sort of makes the show for me, I think, because really heartbreaking on both sides, because you totally understand exactly what you said, which I won't repeat, about, you know, her wanting to be independent and not wanting to have debt, and like that's a huge, huge deal, especially for a single mother trying to put her kid through a really expensive education and, you know, all of this. But at the same time, like, her parents obviously feel like they've just got their family back together, and to them that this means that, like, well, it's been nice, but see you later. And you can understand why they sort of lash out against that, even if, you know, that's not what it is. Because until they kind of had a contract with her, like, she had no desire to be in touch with them. And they have no reason to think that that would be different now. You know what I mean? Like, based on their experience together. Yeah. So,
but I think that like, it would have made sense for them to, like, for her to, like, for Emily to lash out after. But the fact that she just automatically assumed that, like, all the time they had spent together had not changed anything between her and her daughter is, like, that's the part that really kind of upsets me about the whole thing. Because her
like
reaction
to little of her or something.
Yeah. And her response to it is what upsets me more than her reaction to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, totally the way that she goes about, like treating Lorelai after, and it just it does is like confirm everything that Lorelai has ever disliked about her mother, because they have some wonderful moments where you can see that they've like grown and their relationship is stronger. And then for Emily to do this, it's like, are you trying to be like the enemy and like, you know, or like, yeah, the arch nemesis in your daughter's story? Because like, that's what you're doing. Like, if you keep pushing her away, she's just gonna go further.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I totally see that. I think I just find Emily so interesting. I don't even like her all the time. I just find her so interesting, and so much of that has to do with Kelly Bishop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she's so sympathetic, like, you know.
Yeah, she is.
Well, the thing is too, like, and when you think about Emily, it's like you think about the like, she was born to be who she is, you know. And so you think, like, you think about it that way. It's like, she always knew she was going to be, like, she would have to take care of the house, because she would have to make sure things ran. She would have to keep up appearances and stuff like that. It's like a different way of life. And it makes sense because, like, Lorelai is growing up in a different time that she, like, wouldn't want that for herself. But I don't think she's ever seen that her mother is the way she is because she's a product of, like, her situation growing up.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, so. I think there is definitely a limit to, like, the extent to which Lorelai tries to understand her parents. And they both come at it with too many assumptions about the other, like, too many damaging assumptions that definitely in this season they're never able to fully get in the same place, but it well, is yeah it's sad.
I think like what is another thing that's really hard for me to watch too, and I think again this is one of the things where Gilmore Girls is so like quietly brilliant because it sets these things up without us really realizing until we think about it, but or maybe it's just me, but where we have Lorelai and Rory are like that typical single parent relationship where the child is the most important person in the parent's life and they have a really special bond and they tell each other things and they look out for each other. What we have with Emily and Richard is that they look out for each other first. Like if there was, and I don't, I mean, this is just, but if there was like a some kind of catastrophe, they would look out for each other before. Well, maybe that's not true, but it feels like they're always taking each other's side against Lorelai, and I find that really hard to deal with because it's so against the reality I'm used to, and it's so against the reality that Lorelai and Rory have set up. So it's like it's really interestingly juxtaposed that here we have this like when there was another point when Emily got mad. And Richard was like, she has to have it her way. Rawr! And he got like really so. And that's nice for them. But does that make sense? Like it's such a different dynamic between the two of them. And they sort of put each other before the wants. And they don't really take Lorelai seriously. And they don't really. I don't know. It's really hard to watch. But like in an interesting way.
I mean.
Like a family study.
It makes sense. But also for like 15 years, they've only had each other. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's not demonstrated that there's a huge extended family that they're very close to. They're obviously very private people. Once Lorelai left and, you know, she says that it was always like this, but we kind of don't know 100% that it was how she portrays it. But at least for those, like, 15 or so years since she left, they've only had each other. So I think it makes sense that there is that sort of protectiveness there. But I think also, like, Lorelai and Rory have an unnaturally close relationship, right? So that's not, that's definitely not, like, if Rory had a sibling, would they be as close? Maybe not, you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But because it was just the two of them as well, like, they have that equally protective thing, but maybe it makes more sense to us because it's, like, a mother-daughter versus, like, husband yeah. and wife. Because I would say, actually, it's pretty even between the two of them of like the amount that they will immediately defer to the other person, like check in with the other person, protect the other person before anyone else. Exactly like you said, in that catastrophe situation. So I don't know. I think that's a fair criticism, but also a understandable one. But it's not really a
criticism because I think it is super interesting. Well, you know, I mean, it's just when yeah. I watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It frustrates me, but like in this is a bad story way, but in, God, this is so real and I don't know right. how to feel about it kind of way.
Right. And these are frustrating people and, you know, this makes it difficult watching sometimes. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Harvard-Yale stuff then. Cause I think, you know, this ties in with a lot of what we've been talking about like Lorelai's perception of her parents and stuff. Definitely the way that they go about kind of trying to convince Rory to go to Yale and all of that. I mean, first of all, I'm pretty sure this is not how going to college works in America. I don't think you're just like...
No, you just apply to one school and you get in and that's it. You decide when you're 5 and that's it. You're set.
I mean, they keep talking about like, oh yeah, I'm going to Harvard or whatever, but like I've applied to Princeton like as if that's the backup school. Are you going to apply for like a normal college also? I don't know. It's very confusing. It's
that was very ridiculous. And that's one of the things where you get really frustrated with Lorelai, because it's like, sure, I know she didn't go to college, but surely she must realize that her child has to apply to more than Harvard and Princeton.
Yeah, and when you know, like you have to, and everything, like I think it shows, I actually don't know. It's one of those things where I'm not sure if it's intended to show Lorelai's immaturity, but it does. Or maybe it's just the show kind of being like, oh, it's all fine, and we all know Rory's smart and whatever. Because it kind of, you get the sense of them both, like on a darker show, say, the way that this storyline would play out would be, they've always thought, like, Rory's going to go to Harvard. And, you know, they've always planned for Rory to go to Harvard, but they kind of don't really know what that entails, except for sending her to a fancy school. And then, like, what happens to Paris happens to Rory. You know,
that's
it wouldn't all work out. Like that's what would happen. So, but it all works out and it's all like beautiful and sunny and we'll get to Paris in a second. But, I don't know. Do we think like, is that just fuel to the fire the way that her parents kind of went behind Lorelai's back to get the meeting or.
I mean, was this perfectly reasonable. Like,
what's going
like,
on? Like
the fact that Richard tried to give her options is perfectly reasonable. And look, Rory has no, like, she has no context for knowing that it's really Harvard she wants to go to. Like, that's always been her thing. And she's never even considered other schools. And at the end of the day, I was 100% on Richard's side in this. Like, I don't think he should have gone behind Lorelai's back, but I think he did realize that Lorelai had like her blinders on. She didn't realize that it was Rory's choice. And if Rory had to choose between Yale and Harvard and she still chose Harvard, then she would know that she really wanted to go there. But it's not like she's not taking Harvard. He wasn't taking Harvard away from her. He was just saying, here's a school I went to and really loved. Consider it. And I think that was, like, for me, that was perfectly reasonable.
I just don't think it was reasonable for him not to at least tell Rory. Because I believe her when she said, you know, at the end of the episode, if you would have asked me, I would have taken the meeting for you.
I agree with
and
that.
Yeah. And so, like, that's the whole thing. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, I feel awful for her because, like, nobody wants to get thrown into a situation where you're meant to, like, because even though Rory knows that she has, like, somebody like her grandfather that can pull strings, like, she's not a privileged, like, she's a privileged child, but she doesn't, like, she's never really experienced, like, what that privilege can, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, compute in her mind that, like, oh, I could just call grandpa and grandpa can get me into here. Like, she wants to do it all on her own. So for somebody with that mindset, it's like, you wouldn't want to go in, like, with nothing.
Right.
And so I completely understand. Exactly. Because like it doesn't matter if like she's an automatic in. Like she wants to feel like they understand that she's smart and she, you know, she is prepared. Because that's the kind of person she is. And so like I think that was like the worst part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's one of those moments where you kind of feel like Rory is a chip being played between Lorelai and the Gilmores in a way, like back and forth because yeah, I think you're both totally right. Lorelai has said Harvard because she doesn't want Yale because like that's her parents' school. That's the only explanation. There is nothing else. For they never like okay, Rory wants to be a journalist. Send her to Columbia. Like that's where they would go.
Yeah, that would
says that. So it's not based on like the realism of where would be the best place for her to go to school.
Meanwhile, Paris is like completely practical. She's like, I think I want to do X, Y, and Z. So I've applied to these schools and they all make sense. Like, that's the funniest part.
Paris is amazing. Do you want to say anything else about the Gilmores? Can we talk about Paris then?
No, I just wanted to say one more thing about the Harvard and Yale thing. That I don't think that it was unreasonable for Richard to spring this on. Well, yeah, the way that Pam said, but otherwise, no. But I do think, as an audience member, I feel a little bit sprung upon with the whole switch of the colleges because I think, and I don't know, it's just a theory, but I think what happened is they started the show, Rory wants to have a dream of a good college. Harvard, they threw out in the writer's room. And then they got like a season into it and they were like, oh crap, we're on air and people like us, we probably actually eventually have to send this kid to college and still keep the show going. Oh, we need to find a school that's closer. How about Yale? And then they had to, in the span of a very short period of time, convince the characters and the audience that Yale was the better choice, even though she had dreamed of Harvard her whole life. And I think the fact that she changed her mind isn't so, like, that happens in life. But I just find the way they did it was super clumsy. And it felt like a very fast story and, like, premise turnaround because they needed her to be closer to home. And I also think, I mean, I don't know if Paris is going to be at Yale with Rory, but I assume she will be. And I also think that's why, like, the only reason they had to manipulate it so that she didn't get into Harvard is because they knew that realistically her character would not turn Harvard down for anything. Whereas for Rory, she at least had the Richard connection. And I find that to be, I find myself a little bit manipulated as an audience member. I understand why they did it, but I feel a little bit cheated. You know, yeah, she wanted Harvard. No, she always wanted Harvard.
I think I totally agree. But I think for the time frame that they had to do it, because I think it, I mean, it must have been that, right? Like that description right. that you just did. That's the only thing that makes sense. I think for the limited amount of time they had, by making it an issue between like Lorelai and Richard in this case was a smart way to go about it. And, mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, maybe it could have been done with a little more finesse, but I actually, I don't know. I really liked that storyline in a way. Although it's hard to remember what it was like to watch it the first time. So yeah. I think it does feel a little bit like a bait and switch for the audience.
I don't understand why she chose, like, the only reason they've given us for choosing Yale is that it has a drama school. And I'm like, when did Rory ever say she wanted to go to drama school? Is she going to go to drama school? Like, why do they keep bringing that? I brought that up like three times. And I'm like, why is that relevant?
She makes a pros and cons list, but I don't think they ever really like specifically go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what are her reasons?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, yeah. But then Lorelai says, like, doesn't she come in, like, practically and say, like, but Yale has more of what you'd want? Like, not necessarily that drama school is what she wants, but, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they meant, like, curriculum-wise, because, like, right. like you guys alluded to before, it's like she was always going to study journalism, so not mm-hmm. that Yale makes sense for that either, but no. Maybe it's better than Harvard.
Maybe.
Hey, you know what? She's closer to New York. There's more publications. There's more chance for internships. That's true.
There you go.
It's a nice opportunity for some character development on all of their parts. Like Rory making a decision for herself, but feeling kind of guilty because it's not what she thinks her mom wants her to do. And Lorelai being forced to kind of deal with what we've now been told is like this sort of bias that she's had, and you know, an opportunity for Rory to be closer to her grandfather. Like I completely get your frustrations, and I think they're all totally fair, and if they had just chosen Yale at the start, like I don't think this storyline would exist, but now that it does, I think it opens up some interesting avenues moving forward. Like it seems like they all kind of have to do something, they all have to change something to kind of get on board with this. So yeah,
and I'm so excited for her college years. Like I'm so ready. Yeah.
Interesting, because I feel like college years of TV shows are always terrible, almost always terrible.
Yeah, but it's a big difference, you know, it's a change of scenery and stuff. I like it.
Interesting. Okay, is there anything else we need to talk about from the season?
Are we gonna talk about Paris?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god,
Paris has so much character growth in this season.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Well,
I mean, like, since we're on the topic of colleges and stuff, I mean, we started talking about this, but what did you guys think about, like, her breakdown? Like, is that...
Oh my god.
Did that hit you hard?
Oh, yes.
Well, first of all, I did not like that the kind of subtext of that was, like, well, we didn't talk about this before, mm-hmm. but like I didn't like the whole like I had sex and now I'm a failure. Like I'm going to.
That's awful.
I was like, and in a way they were like, that's irrational. But then at the same time, they gave us the scene with Lorelai and Rory where Lorelai was like so pleased that Rory was a virgin, and you're like, I feel uncomfortable about this development. But
I don't like that development either.
No, but I love Jamie.
I also didn't feel like,
and I love Paris. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I also didn't think, like, I feel like that moment was a little, like, untrue to character for Lorelai, because I feel like she'd be more like the mom to be like, look, like, I guess I don't want you doing that. But like, if you did, like, it's cool. Like, be safe. Right.
I mean, so. Yeah, I guess it just, I think we talked about this a lot on the season two on about her kind of terror that Rory is going to make the same, what she sees as the same mistake in a way as she does. So I don't know. But Paris, like, oh, her breakdown was so sad. And I just love Paris so much. I appreciate her as a character so much. And she has had, for a character that was kind of only written into the show because they really liked the actress and kind of stayed around because they really liked the actress, she has had a remarkable amount of development from a writer's room that obviously, like, is very interested in what they can do with this character that they didn't originally kind of think would be around. So I like that a lot.
I also really like the friendship between Rory and Paris, because I think up until like season three, they're just kind of like tolerant of each other, and they like, you know what I mean? Like, and they team up because they know they're the smartest. But in this season, you really kind of see them like not necessarily just teaming up because they know they're the smartest in the group, but because like they genuinely like have some kind of affection for each other. And that's really nice.
Yeah. And they're still competitive. They don't, exactly, they never like lessen that aspect, which I like.
Mm-hmm. But they push each other and like, and it's not like maliciously either, which is how it starts out. You know, like Paris is like, oh, I want you to be there so that you can push me so I can be better. It's just like, yeah. So.
All right. So shall we do some favorites and some questions? Okay. First of all, I mean, I feel like I know the answer to both of these, but. Who's everyone shipping Lorelai with by the end? Could it be Luke? Could that be the answer?
Could it be? Probably. Does the show want me to? I don't understand.
I'm shipping her with Jon Hamm. I think he's great.
How about Bella's dad?
Like, oh, she kept being like, oh, he's so annoying. He keeps doing this thing. But we didn't see any of that. So I was just like, he just seemed really nice. And he looks like Jon Hamm. So, I mean.
Because he is Jon Hamm.
Yeah. Well, there is that.
I did yeah. like, though, that Emily was like, oh, you want me to help you?
Yeah. That was very funny. Okay. What about Rory? We've seen her in a relationship with Dean now and with Jess. How we feeling? Selena? What do you think?
You know, it's funny because I'm ready to see her with someone else. And it's not because I don't like her with Jess, but I think Pam was right in that they found each other at a time when neither of them were ready for each other. And I think especially what happened towards the end of the season, which is something, I mean, it's one of my favorite episodes, so I don't know if you want to save it from there, but in Keg... exclamation point, Max! Exclamation point, best title ever. I mean, some of the stuff that happened there just means I think they really are in a place where I don't necessarily would like to see him come back. I mean, he's not gonna, but I wouldn't like to see him come back in the season four premiere and be like, I'm back, and they go all over the, like, again, they start over. I would like, I mean, I know it must be almost Logan time. I am aware this is a character that exists. It's going to come in at some point soon, I think. And I'm interested to see how that plays out, just as I'm interested to see who else she finds to hang out with in college and how that sort of changes her. And I'm obviously hoping that Jess comes back eventually, because I am 100% Team Jess. I just don't think that after everything that happened this season, I think we sort of solidified that these two characters have a really special relationship, but that they are also kids who have a lot of growing to do, especially Jess, but also Rory, I think, in different ways. So, yes. You know,
well,
by the spinoff time...
Who knows if he'll be able to come back, because he's off doing Windward Circle, you know?
I mean, look, yeah. I mean, I'm not... I don't know if Jess is going to come back, but just as, like, knowing how much you guys talk about him and seeing how long... I mean, guys, I thought Dean was going to be, like, a 3-episode arc. I had no idea he was sticking around for this. Like, stupid Dean. Now he's engaged. What the heck? Like, I... Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
he's so stupid.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Honestly, I thought that happened in season four. But you're right.
And he just like sticks around and sticks around and sticks around. And I'm like, just leave. And like Jess is, I mean, I guess he has been there for two seasons. But I think like the reason that so many people are like hardcore team Jess, I imagine he comes back. If he doesn't, that's a real bummer. But at least he comes back for the revival. So there's always that.
Yes. Well, I mean, we have to wait. I don't know what year are we up to in terms of seasons. When does Supernatural start? That seems to be the only way people leave this show is when they're cast in something else.
I really can't believe that he's still there. I really thought that he like would be gone by episode 5. I'm so confused.
Why, you know what, though? But realistically, aren't they on the same lot? Do they film Supernatural on location?
Oh, I know there was a Supernatural episode where they like go to the Gilmore Girls one and do a joke about it. So I don't know. I've never actually watched it. Yeah, so he would be on both and just back and forth. Yeah, Selena, did we not mention that Dean is just there the whole time? Goes to Yale.
He works really in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Oh. I was trying to.
We had very different lines of thought there.
Oh God. Okay. All right. Well, shall we do? Let's do favorite episodes then. I mean, you just did Keg Max, and you have to say it like that every time.
I do want to talk about the thing though, really briefly, because I feel like we're kind of like brushing over it. But that scene in the bedroom, I thought was so interesting and so jarring and so like real in a way that really leaves you like a little bit shaken, you know. I almost feel like this was like Gilmore Girls's like Spike moment, you know, season 6.
I was wondering if you were gonna mention that.
You were? Yeah, like, I guess that's like a really obvious comparison, but I found that to be like almost like the writers were forcing him too much because they needed him to go, like with Spike. I was like, that moment to me, we've talked about that too, like it felt really jarring because it didn't feel like something the character would do at that particular time. And obviously Spike goes a lot further than Jess does, you know. I think what happened with Jess and Rory, like it went too far. I think it's interesting too because we've had a whole season of them dating. He's clearly been sexually active with other girls, but it's never even a question, at least as far as we've seen, that he's like, Rory, you know, when is it time for that thing? And that has actually been a really nice thing for Jess's character. And then it comes to this moment and it kind of all culminates in this really uncomfortable situation for them. And that's one of the reasons I think why I wouldn't like want them together right now, because I think they have a lot of things to work through and they have a lot of growth, especially Jess. But I did like the moment for it being realistic. I did like sort of how, I don't know, just it felt like a real take on the situation, you know? And it didn't go so far that we were like, oh, this is horrible. But it went far enough that we were like, okay, this is super uncomfortable.
Yeah. Does that make sense? No, it does make sense. I agree with your reading of it. It does remind me of the Spike scene in that also, like, it doesn't really make sense to me for the character. And it's something that I kind of take issues more with the writing than with the character.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, you know, then it's not about excusing that behavior at all, but it fits into that arc of them trying to get him off the show. And I feel like the fact that Rory kind of doesn't really, like, there are like three episodes after that, right? And it sort of doesn't really come up, like, and it sort of does, but it's not a big deal. And the fact that it isn't means that like the show wasn't really trying to deal with that issue, I don't think. It was just a way to kind of drive them apart. And I agree, like, it's very noticeable once Rory and Jess get together, like their relationship is already more sexual, at least in kind of connotation, than hers and Dean's. Like, hers and Dean's is really sweet, and like I think we've said before, but like Alexis Bledel and Milo were dating when they were on the show together, so like they have great chemistry, like they have really great chemistry, and it comes across a little more than hers with Jared Padalecki. And so there's already that vibe. I'm trying to say a serious thing. Stop making me laugh about dating his leather jacket.
Sorry. And, stop. And is it floppy hair?
Oh, stop. I still maintain that I understand why he's there for all the Team Dean fans that are
I guess the thing is, as with the Spike thing, the fact is, like, they wrote it into the show, so now you have to deal with it. And I don't like that they did, and I don't think it makes sense that they did, except in the context of getting him on a different show. But, yeah, I mean, because of that scene, you can't possibly think that they should be together now. Like, at least not now.
Right now. Know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because the connotations of that scene are, like, they are in two completely different places. And although Jess is, like, very mature in certain ways, he's obviously incredibly immature in other ways. And, like, they both have a lot of growing to do. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's interesting that that was one of your favorites.
It was just a really good episode, just because it made me, like, feel a lot of things. And it felt like storylines were really sort of culminating. And I really enjoyed the party. Well, you know, I don't hate Max. Like, I don't know. I think I feel how Pam feels about Dean. You know, like, he's all right. He's fine.
I know why he's there. And, it's fine.
Yeah, and, like, he's okay. Yeah. He's, like, I liked how he came back. I like how that was, like, a little bit of unfinished business there. I assume he's not going to come back again. That actually makes me kind of sad because, you know, if it can't be Luke, I think it should be him, but whatever. And I like the party stuff. I like seeing the band, Lane's band, finally play.
Yeah.
You know? And she got drunk and she called her mother and, oh my God, all that stuff. I really enjoyed that.
Everything with Lane is the best. All right. You have other favorites. Do you want to do them
too? I do. Well, all I just meant the one with the hair dye for the hair dye. But okay. I
listed four, so you can say as many as you want.
Yeah. And obviously some of the ones that Pam and Merriman mentioned are my favorites too. I just didn't mention them because they mentioned them. But I really like the big one, the one where Paris didn't get her acceptance letter because, you know, spoiler alert, she was definitely one of my favorite characters of the season. And it was just really, again, one of those more emotional, deeper episodes that really made me feel like this is a real world where these characters have real feelings and bad things do happen, even in Stars Hollow. And I really enjoy seeing that aspect of the show.
Well, I like them too. All right. Pam, you want to go?
Sure. Like Selena said, I think we all kind of, this season's so good. It's so hard to pick like one favorite. So I added two to this list. I really like a deep fried Korean Thanksgiving because I just think it's one of the funniest episodes ever. And it's like Rory and Lorelai doing what they do best, which is like eating so much food that you don't think it's like possible they can pack it in. I love also the scene at Suki's when Jackson's like the king of deep frying. And it's just
and
so
Suki's
funny.
Really drunk.
Yeah, Suki's really drunk because she's like, they've murdered my turkey. And then Kirk gets the cat that like beats him up. And then there's this great scene with like Dave and Lane. And it's just got like, it's like a quintessential Gilmore Girls episode. In my book, it's just kind of got everything that we love. And then I also like the episode That'll Do Pig, because anytime that the first Lorelai comes into town, I always just think that that dynamic between her and Emily is like, I feel awful for Emily, but it also makes me laugh that she has to like scurry around and like fix things up for her mother-in-law that's like never really going to accept her anyway. And I think that like their relationship is like, it's like a more drastic version of how like Lorelai probably feels about her mother, which I have always thought is very interesting. It's good.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Trix, but yes, 100%.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, like just very quickly, Trix has some great moments in this season, and I also like, it's so funny that like Emily finally like has one up on her because she catches her making out with that jogger in like another episode. I think it's like episode 15 or something. That it's so in good. And Lorelai's like, and then Lorelai's like teaching her ways, and she's like, "Mom, you have to wait for your moment." It's just like, it's the funniest thing ever.
I like all of them. All right. Well, I have many. I guess we've mentioned a few of these already. I definitely have to go with They Shoot Gilmore's, Don't They? The dance episode is another one of my favorites of the whole series, for sure. Because it has, you know, it, again, it's like one of those kind of quintessential Gilmore episodes of some ridiculous event is happening in town. And as we've discussed, I love those things. They're so random and just seem so fun. So I love all of the like prep of them dressing up and Lorelai like trying to get a partner, but then the wife is jealous and, you know, all of this. And the scene with Kirk running around with the trophy at the end while Rory's crying is like so Gilmore. That's just so Gilmore. So definitely have that. Also Dear Richard and Emily, which we talked about earlier. A Tale of Pose and Fire, because again, like another cool, like just Edgar Allan Poe people, but then disaster strikes, very Gilmore Girls. I think the reason I like this is like there's a lot of good, which we didn't really discuss, but there's a lot of good Luke and Jess interactions in that. And like regardless of what they kind of do with Jess and Rory's relationship in this series, this season, I really like what happens with Jess and Luke, because I feel like that's always been very natural and kind of remains very natural, the sort of progression of their, you know, not liking each other and then sort of begrudging support for each other and then, you know, like respect sort of. And yeah, I really like that. And there's some good Rory and Paris moments. But then also it's nice to see the independence in people like actually doing their job and being really good at it, because we hear a lot about Lorelai wanting to kind of have her own business and do her own thing, but I feel like often all of the scenes that we get of her are just kind of funny things, or her like answering the phone, you know. And it's, I like, you see them going to crisis mode there, and they're obviously very good at it. And then also, because why not pick four? I also really enjoyed the finale, Those Are Strings, Pinocchio, because of everything, because I just think it's a great finale. We find out that she's going to buy the dragonfly. We didn't really talk about the independence in burning down, but that's another huge plot point in this season. Another thing, I guess, in the transition of turning this show from this to like the college show, because obviously Lorelai needs something else to do now that Rory's not going to be around all the time. But yeah, I really liked all of them. So yes. You guys want to add anything about any of those?
I really like the speech that Rory gives at graduation day. It always makes me cry because I think it's just such a sweet moment, and like her grandparents aren't expecting what she says about them being like her pillars of strength. And then, you know, she tells her mom that she's always wanted to be like her, and it's just really nice.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for emotional stuff. So
there's, you know, another speech Rory does at one point in the series that is similar and also always makes me like be emotional in my little robot heart. So I totally feel you. It's a good one. Okay, favorite characters. I mean, I've talked a lot because I chose basically every episode of the season, so I will just say Dave and let someone else discuss. Pam, you didn't have write one down.
Because mine is also Dave, but I will say Dave and Lane, like as a collective, because I think that Lane grows a lot and she just becomes more badass because she just doesn't care, and Dave is just wonderful. So yeah.
What's their ship name? What do we think?
Dane.
Dane.
Lave.
Lave.
It's not great. They're not great options.
No.
No. Okay. Well, people listening can let us know if they have a better one.
Delave.
Not yet.
Well, I said Paris, but we kind of already spoke about her. So I actually want to say, I think my favorite character this season is Luke. Because I really enjoy seeing him try to deal with Jess. I think he does his very best to be like a dad. And at the end, he just loses it all because, I mean, it just falls apart. You know, he gives Jess every chance and he, you know, goes to the Walmart thing. He is legitimately proud, and all he wants is for Jess to stay in school, and Jess doesn't. And then he has enough because Jess is just like untamable in a way, you know, but as you know, I know like dealing with troublesome kids is really hard, and sort of having to keep being the parent even though you understand, like that's sort of, it feels very, very, very real to me. And I think the way that Luke, he's very compassionate and he's trying so hard, you know, and I just, it really gets to me. And I also think just the way he deals with things this season, I think he's great. I think he's really funny as a character. We don't really talk about him a lot on this podcast because Merrimer doesn't like him. So
hey, you can always talk about him.
But I really like Luke, and especially this season, I think he has been just a, he's, it's really great to have a character like this on the show. I really enjoy him, and yeah, that's my pick. I also really like Lorelai, of course, as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I was a bit anti-Lorelai this season, but I do really like her always. I just, you know, have a growing appreciation.
I feel like she deals with some huge stuff this season. Like, I know she gets the inn at the end, but she has this whole time when she thinks she can't afford it and her inn burns down and she has to deal with all the stuff with her parents and
all the stuff with Christopher at the start, like
with Christopher and the,
you know,
baby. And I think, and that's actually the reason that I really liked Dear Richard and Emily, is just seeing the pain that Lorelai goes through, and Christopher just does not get it. Oh my god, yeah. I'm waiting for the show to turn me around on this character, because I don't think it will. Oh my god. And and the fact that she has to be there for the birth of Christopher's other child, and it's also a daughter, and it's also, what was it, she was like, it's called Gigi, that's almost Rory. I laughed for like 5 minutes. And just seeing her pain at having to go through that, and having that juxtaposed with the memories of her having to go through it all alone. And I find that to be very, very sort of, very relate, like not relatable, but like it feels,
it's
like
very compelling.
I feel like I say it's real, like it feels real like a million times in this episode, but it does, and it's very compelling, and it really brings me on Lorelai's side even more. I think she has a lot of burdens to bear, and I think she just handles them the best way she possibly can.
I agree.
And that's very admirable.
No, I agree. I think maybe you kind of forget when you've seen it so often that like, oh, Lorelai just does everything and it's fine and whatever, without really thinking about like, but she is doing all of these things. And yeah, I totally agree. So we've kind of talked about the stuff we didn't love. I don't think, was there anything else you wanted to mention?
I don't have anything.
No, Pam?
I don't think so. We covered a lot.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I feel like I complained a bit. Sorry, guys. I do love this show. Please don't be mad at me. Selena's made her prediction of, what is it? Season five?
Season five finale.
They're going to kiss. Okay. When do you think, so you know that Logan exists, when do you think Logan is going to arrive?
Well, definitely this season.
Okay.
I think he's going to arrive soon. I think maybe like episode 5 or something. Like, she has to get settled at college first, and then he's going to be like, hi, I'm Logan, I'm your tutor for history or something. And
that's a great impression.
Thanks. I haven't even met him yet, and I already know him. And I think, I mean, obviously she's going to go to college. I think that Luke and What's-Her-Face are going to be engaged. Like that was the whole thing leading up to when they go on the cruise. But I don't think it's going to last, because I don't know. I just don't see it lasting very long. I don't know. And I mean, I don't think Dave is coming back. That's my big prediction. No, mm-hmm. I think Paris is going to go to Yale with Rory. And I think that, Suki's going to have her baby. Oh my god, we didn't talk about that, but that's cute.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
No, and that's it. I don't really know what else could happen.
I think
anything could happen.
That's a large number of predictions. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think Kirk is going to get a new job.
Every episode.
Yes.
I love him so much. I love all of these. He's like Leash Orange. Oh, well, it's part of the fun, just throwing predictions into the abyss. Okay. Yes. So that's it for our discussion. We've got some listener feedback from you guys. If you want to let us know your thoughts on anything we talked about this episode, or you want to tell us your thoughts for season 4 when we record that, which will definitely be sooner than we recorded this one, you can let us know on Twitter at HyperbullHype. We are also at HyperbullHype on Instagram if you want to communicate via that for some reason, or you can send us an email. We are hype@hyperbull.com. And we have the Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com, which features Gilmore Girls things at times and other things. So, you know, you can always ask questions over there if you want. So we have some feedback on Twitter. Selena, did you want to read those?
Okay, so Gabby S, who is Gabby SM11 on Twitter, says, I loved what they did with Paris. Sometimes she's awful, but her character development this season is amazing. I agree. It's kind of like Paris and Emily are kind of similar in that they have really great moments, and then at other times they're just awful, and then they're great again. Almost like real people.
Hey. Nice.
Okay, so Mariah Lovegood, at Mariah Lovegood, says, I am not a huge fan of Jess, but I love this season. Dean got boring, but grew a spine. Yeah. Paris got a BF. Lorelai got an in. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Is that Jackson who says that? I feel like he says that.
I thought you were doing like a Mickey Mouse impression.
No.
So I was just going to go with it.
Could be. I don't know. Did Dean really get a spine? Anyways, maybe.
He kind of beat up Jess in that one,
I guess.
That doesn't necessarily mean he grew a spine. I don't know.
Oh my god. Ugh,
But he did break it off with Rory. I guess he could have stayed.
That's true. So. That's true. Maybe that's true. Yeah.
Animes. Animes. I think I just figured it out. A-N-E-E-M-A-Y-S on Twitter says, definitely the best season up until this point. Episode 7 remains a favorite. Hashtag team no Dean nor Jazz. Hashtag team Rory. What's episode 7?
Is that they shoot Gilmore's?
Probably, since that seems to be everyone's favorite.
I think it's a good episode. What's wrong with you? I have to confess now.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. It just seems to be everyone's favorite. Yeah.
I think maybe because also that scene's in the credits with them standing on the dance floor, so it kind of sticks in your mind.
Yeah, probably. And this is the last one I'll do. I'll let you guys do the rest. So the Lady Ash, who is... I mean, I can do more if you want me to, but I just don't want to hog them all. Anyway, at the Lady Ash says, Gilmore Girls Season 3, Rory and Paris need to fall in love. There you go. Pori?
Raris? That's
awful. It would have to be like Roris or something.
It could just be like
better.
G squared.
It would be,
you know, Geller and Gilmore.
Harry.
Or
Parori or something.
Parori.
You know, they should just run for actual office together. Basically like a romantic relationship. Exactly.
And so she continues, forget Dean and Jess, blah. Switch to Yale was way, way too quick, in my opinion. Not sure where Luke and Nicole are going. Oh, is she a newbie like me? That's exciting. I feel like he'll never find happiness due to his Lorelai crush. I'm excited for season 4. Time for some college years. And I can't wait to see the girls once they come back from Europe. Yes, I agree.
Well, that's fun.
Especially the Yale thing.
I didn't know Lady Ash was watching for the first time. That's exciting.
No. That's very exciting.
We have some comments on our last podcast post. Pam, did you want to grab those from Kim and Nicole?
Sure. Kim says, great discussion. I love these special Gilmore Girls episodes. Thank you. Well, thank you for listening, Kim. We appreciate that. And Nicole says, you guys, we have a release date. I just want to say how thankful I am that you're doing these podcasts. I know we are in a time crunch now, but I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yay. We need that. Yeah. Tweet at us every once in a while and tell us you believe.
Please. And clap your hands, etc.
Exactly. She continues, Gilmore Girls means so much to me, and the revival could not have come at a more perfect time. My best friend, essentially the Rory to my Lane, got me into the show around season 6. We grew up down the street from each other and went to college together. Shortly after graduation, she moved to New York City to pursue her dreams, leaving me in Florida to plan my wedding without my maid of honor. She left October 1st, 2014, the date Gilmore Girls was originally released on Netflix. Rewatching got us through our first time being apart. We were stoked to hear about the show coming back, and I have had money set aside for my plane ticket ever since so we could watch it together. Marima, this is like you and me. But Netflix has come in clutch once again, releasing the new episodes the day after Thanksgiving when we'll already be together in our hometown. Yay for no spending money. Honestly, I broke down into tears when I read the news. I can't wait to find out what happens to the Gilmores on my best friend's parents' living room floor. The way it was meant to be enjoyed. I really appreciate all you guys do, and I hope to get to enjoy the new episodes of people you love. I hope you get to enjoy the new episodes of people you love. Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, Nicole. Sweet.
It's nice when people share their like personal experience. I know we've done some of that. Okay, and we'll finish with an email from Alexa, who says, "Hi, Hype, longtime listener, first time writer. I've been a fan since before the reboot, and you all get me through the workday, so thanks a bunch for that. Cool. Hopefully you're not just listening to the Gilmore Girls episodes, because they will not get you through much, because there are only two. But anyway, we're getting there." She says, "I've been a massive Gilmore Girls fan since it first aired, and I've rewatched it at least 10 times, probably more. It's amazing that it's coming back into the spotlight, and I can't tell you how much I love that this podcast is devoting so much time to it. The perspective of both long-time and first-time viewers is really fun. I always have a lot of opinions and feelings about what you guys discuss in the shows and specials, as do we all, but I just never find time to sit down and submit them until last episode when the name of Emily Gilmore was called into question." That's all in caps. She feels strongly about it. "I must now break my podcast silence. Forget Emily Gilmore being my favorite character on the show, but I will fight anyone who argues that Emily Gilmore isn't not one of the most complex and beautifully written characters on TV. Kelly Bishop is a golden goddess that this world does not deserve, and her portrayal of Emily is nothing short of genius." And Alexa had a very long, compelling argument about Emily, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I read the whole email and definitely agree. Alexa, I'm on your side about this. But she finishes, "What I'd accuse Emily of is completely not understanding her daughter. And I'll be the first to concede Emily could have done a better job listening and could have compromised more in certain things if she knew how incredibly unhappy they were making Lorelai. But Emily tried her best and in return is treated so unfairly. Thanks for reading my ranty email. I just have too many Emily feels to keep inside." Thank you for sharing them with us. I really like when people,
agree with you.
Stand up for that. Stand up for their
I'm kidding.
Characters in great, like, I, the rest of it is in the emails, which you can read, but like in great detail. She's got points for her case.
I
can't wait for someone to do that for Dean.
Yeah, write us hype@hyperbole.com. If you send us a full thing, we'll read the whole thing because, to make up for the rest of it.
That's why Team Dean is
where it's at. Exactly.
Yeah, it's where it's at. But perfect.
I was just gonna say Emily, like, I don't know, it probably was me she's referring to, but I just would agree. First of all, Kelly Bishop is amazing, but also I think Emily is fantastically written. Like, there's never a question that her character and humanity is completely fully realized and understood both by the writers and the actors, and it makes such a joy to watch. I just don't like everything she does. When Alexa says, like, she's treated unfairly, I'm wondering if she means by the characters in the show or by the audience. Because if it's by the audience, I can see what she means in that people maybe judge her through a very, like, one-dimensional or two-dimensional lens, whereas Emily is meant to be, like, a lot of the show, she's meant to be understood, like, as a full human being who has flaws and faults, but also has a really rich inner life that is informing all of her decisions, both good and bad. But I think in terms of the characters on the show, I actually think sometimes she's given too much, like, especially by Richard, obviously, like we talked about earlier, like, and even Rory, like, people are picking her side when I think, personally, from my perspective, they should be on Lorelai's side. And that frustrates me as a viewer, but it doesn't frustrate me in terms of the writing because I think it's really good. It just frustrates me because I have, like, I feel like I have a personal stake in this relationship, you know, and ultimately I just want them to get along. It always feels like Lorelai's taking the step forward and Emily's taking the step back a lot of the time, and that frustrates me.
I wonder if the reason that the other characters seem to be more forgiving to Emily is because so many of the, like, slights against Lorelai are so based on, like, the specifics of their relationship. And, you know, when she tells people about them, they're like, oh, it's not that bad. And, I mean, it's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Like, when you see the flashbacks, you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Could have stayed there. And she's like, but I could not have. Like, you don't understand what it was like. So maybe that's part of it too. Because I think Rory also has, like, she's getting better, but she does still have a very naive perspective on the relationship between her mother and grandmother, in that she's like, but why can't we all just get along and be fine? And Lorelai's like, that's not how it works. And, like, in some of these circumstances, you have to accept that it's my decision. Like, I am the mother. I am the adult. It's up to me. And but I think hopefully this episode made up for that, because I feel like I gave Emily a lot of love, to probably the point of I could have stopped talking about her at some point. But, like, what were we going to do, talk about Dean? I don't think so. I guess we'll leave it there. We will be back with our special episode of season 4 soon.
Woo!
Those are all the details that we will give at this time, but make sure you're following us at HypeWillHype on Twitter, and we will let you guys know when we're going to record so you have time to send us your feedback. We are going to have to speed up our time frame slightly from the 3 months since we last did this. So I would say definitely start watching season 4 now, and then we should all be around the same place, hopefully. Does that sound fair?
It does.
Is that a good plan?
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Yes, and Pam and Selena will yell at me a lot to do this faster. And make sure you send
us. We're all very busy at the moment. I think it's all of us.
We're going to do it for you guys.
We'll yell at each other, but don't worry. At least if it comes to it, November 21, 22, 23, we will be recording.
Yep. Marathon podcasts.
Yes.
We'll record while we watch.
Yeah, and then, of course, we will have a podcast about, I'm not sure what we're going to do now that we know they're all released on the same day, but we'll have a talk about that. We'll definitely have podcasts for the revival episode once it airs. So it's exciting times. And that's it. The end.
The end. Goodbye. Yeah. Ready for college. Yay. Oh my God. By the way, I just want to say, like, the theme song, I watch it every time because, like, I don't know. I really like the song.
It's so cute. Carole King is
But clean. Also, like, yeah. Yes. But what I love, like, is how the actions they do, like, match the lyrics in this, like, enormously cheesy way. It's like, I will follow. And you see her following.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I'll be there. And she, like, opens her arms or something. And it's like, if you're out on the road, they're actually, like, in a car. And it's just, it's so 90s. Like, I know this isn't the 90s, but it's such a 90s themes, like, the images they use. And it's like, you know, it's something like, that you tell me to, and you see them talking. And it's just like, it's so funny. Like, you guys have to, I can't believe, like, you guys haven't noticed that.
Oh, you know what? I've never noticed that.
I'm just going to tell you right now, if they don't, like, remake the theme song, like, for the opening credits for this, like, new batch, I'm going to be really, really upset. If it's just, you know, like, the new trend for shows is just, like, here's the title, and, like, that's it.
Like, Gilmore Girls, Unblacked. Yeah, and then exactly. You're in,
I'm going to be so upset. I need, like, that 90s opening credit scene.
Oh,
yes.
They have to, surely.
I took notes when I was watching this season, and my notes look the same, except, like, every other, like, bullet is, but Dave, though.
Right, but Dave. Okay, so Dave, prepare though. For, like, 20 minutes of Dave, because the Brogalskis.
I wanted to put Dave down as my favorite, but I feel like that's, like, too, I need to pick somebody else.
Oh, no, you haven't? Good, well, I will then.